First letter to Ed Wilson, 2013. September 14, 2013, dear brother Ed. For years I've wanted to visit with you about our stand that because the Lord has empowered ministers with the ability to lay hands on the sick and heal them, that constitutes a restriction on anyone not healed in that manner from obtaining any other aid, no matter how readily available it may be. During the time you were at Guthrie, we were riding along one day, and you happened to mention that some of the writings of D.S. Warner on this subject were different from the way we hold them today. But, you said, we made our decision and chose our path. I wanted to ask much more then, but we were discussing other important matters, and I never got back to that subject with you. The scripture says, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders. That is a wonderful benefit. But where is the restriction implied in that blessing? Where does the scripture state or imply that a person is prohibited from doing whatever they can to help themselves physically? Suppose I tell you, Brother Ed, I have a Toyota Prius, and anytime you need a vehicle to get around, you just call me and use that Prius to get around. Then I'm driving down the road and I see you walking carrying a 16-foot 2x4 on your way to build a house somewhere. So I pull up alongside and ask you, why are you walking carrying that 2x4? And you say, because it won't fit into a Prius. Then I ask, don't you have a pickup truck at home in your driveway? And you say, yes, but you specifically said anytime I need a vehicle to get around, I'm to call you and use your Prius. If that was how things were set up, then there was a mighty big restriction that came along with that blessing. Where do we see in New Testament scripture that the blessing of divine healing and the ability of ministers to move about and heal the sick where they go to spread the gospel implies that wherever the word is heard, everybody who didn't happen to be so healed is put on a restriction to the death line, not to be helped or help themselves in any other way? I have 4 recorded messages and teaching sessions from you on this subject from 4 major venues: McCoyman Camp Meeting, Monarch Camp Meeting, Guthrie Camp Meeting, and Neosho Home Congregation. You do actually address directly my very question in at least one of these sessions, which happened to be the one in Pacoima. Someone in the audience asked what's wrong with seeking medical aid. And his answer was, or reading on, and your answer is that it is wrong to violate our faith. Implied in that answer is that the only thing that is wrong in seeking medical aid is violating a person's faith in doing so. If we substitute the word conviction for the word faith, it would seem that what you mean is a person violating what they have been taught and believe is where they get in trouble with their own conscience. However, what the people are taught and what they believe, especially on this subject, is a function of the teaching of the ministry, in whom the sheep have so much confidence that they will unquestioningly suffer the most frightful and gruesome physical torment and lay down their lives or their children's lives in obedience to. This seems to make it the responsibility of the ministry to get it right, especially in light of the Old Testament principle that enduring physical torment or inflicting it as an expression of devotion or sacrifice or observance of some required ritual was never commanded of God, nor was it ever in his mind. And in the New Testament, Jesus himself lays down the principle that we are not at liberty to put God to the test or give him an ultimatum by forcing him to either perform a miracle or watch us die. And he called it tempting or testing God regarding casting himself down from the temple when there is a perfectly good set of steps leading to the top and back down. I made up the part about the steps. But you get the idea. What is wrong here is that it was an unnecessary miracle. We can also discuss that it would have been done for the wrong reasons, but the core fact here is that it was an unnecessary miracle, meaning there was another means at hand if someone needed to get up there, and they sure didn't need to jump up. Just like making bread out of stones would have been an unnecessary miracle, whereas he did perform that same miracle more than once when it was necessary because there was no other means of procuring the food. The most common method I have observed of expounding to the people that the Lord requires that they eschew medical aid is to build up a good head of steam roaring down the track laid by the scriptures declaring that Jesus heals and will do so till the end of time.
And then to make a mighty leap onto a completely different logical track.
Without acknowledging or perhaps even realizing that they've done so. And then to use the momentum from the scriptural Jesus heals track to propel the medical aid prohibition argument down a different track that is missing scriptural rails, which gives us a bumpy and uneven ride as we intermittently hit railroad ties of solid rules, no surgery, and unregulated areas such as dental surgery or C-section surgery, and where all we can do is tell people to hang on to the rope that is represented by your own conviction on this path. So the scripture is clear about acts of sacrifice and devotion that involve sacrificing a child, as God said he abhorred it, and that it was not commanded of him, nor did he ever intend it, nor was it ever in his heart, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Another place he said, neither did I speak it. And this is Jeremiah 7 and 31. We don't read that any of those parents were sadistic, bloodthirsty murderers, but that they were committing acts of devotion and sacrifice that they believed were required of them by a deity. Now, I wrote this years before I came across this other information from this French historian that I read earlier at the intro. But this is what I wrote back in 2013, that we don't read they were bloodthirsty murderers. They were doing what they thought was required. Our present day allowing a child to die when a remedy is readily available for the sole reason that we believe that God's requirement seems to me to be similar to those acts in the Old Testament, especially if God says, I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Where do we find that it was in the mind of God that any person at any time was ever intended to be worse off physically for having heard the word about the wonderful blessing of divine healing by laying on hands of the ministry? I look forward to hearing from you, hopefully in person and sometime soon. That was the end of the 2013 letter.